Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with DNZ reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, passionate. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd? Let's talk about how we increase your foot traffic and get people to visit your website. Email us today at faderoutemail@gmail.com or message us on our socials at faderoutepodcast on IG or slide in our DMs on X at faderoutednz so we can find the best package for you. Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. Derrick Henry fumbles again. The Jets have another cheerleading head coach. And Justin Herbert is eyeing up the MVP award. But we'll begin today's show with the New York Football Giants. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley have improved to 3-0 this weekend, while the Giants have fallen to 0-3. Tracy's hurt. Wilson's looked lost. Malik Nabers was shut down. And it looks like Jackson Dart will be playing quarterback this weekend. So, Z, if things don't get turned around quickly, who goes first, Daboll or Shane?
All right, so talk all you want about the numbers.
Nice haircut, by the way. Thank you. You're looking spiffy.
Thank you. Need to clean things up a little bit. Talk all about the numbers you want. Talk about Russ's inability to move the ball down the field. Well, at least to his own team. Tyrone Tracy getting knocked out of this game early. The defense's inability later at the end of the game to stop a run to the outside. So I believe I had that one. Once you bounce to the outside, it's over, Johnny. It's over. But the key number here is 26. What's 26, you may be asking?
Not a point state? No. What is it?
The number of snaps that Andrew Thomas played.
Ooh.
So, Andrew Thomas is on a pitch count as he comes back from Lisfranc injury. And when Andrew Thomas was in the game, the Giants were in the game. As soon as Marcus Mbeau had to come in, it all went to shit. As soon as the left tackle got replaced, it was like a different game. So, as Andrew Thomas goes, the Giants go. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, but they put up 37 against the Cowboys. Yes, the Cowboys are not good. Like, we talked about this already. We know this, and we know this, man. The Dallas Cowboys are not good. So, Andrew Thomas is the linchpin. We've been saying that the offensive line is the linchpin. It doesn't matter if it's Jackson Dart. It doesn't matter if it's Russell Wilson. It doesn't matter if it's Jameis Winston. It doesn't matter if it's Daniel Jones. It doesn't matter if it's Jesus Christ. The offensive line of the New York Giants is going to make this fucker go. And if it doesn't go, then offense has to roll. And I think that has to start with Daboll. Yeah, I get it. You drafted Dart to buy him some time because, you know, he finally has a quarterback that he believes in. Look at Daniel fucking Jones in Indiana. He's playing competently. I still don't believe in him. He's 3-0.
What does he have to do? What does he have to do for you to believe in him?
Go undefeated and win a Super Bowl. There you go. That's what I have to do. That's what Daniel Jones has to do. The expectations coming out of here, right, when he was drafted out of Duke, was that he was going to be Josh Allen. No, he's not Josh Allen. He was barely competent as a Giant. He had one solid year. Turf monster. Inability to stay healthy, that's as much on him and his poor decision-making as it is the offensive line not protecting him. Nobody told this motherfucker to lower his head when taking a hit, right? Nobody told him to lower his head and initiate contact. That's just dumb. Absolutely fucking dumb. You wonder why he's got a neck problem. That's a problem.
Well, he's lowering his head initiating contact in Indianapolis for touchdowns right
now. Yeah. So, look at the offensive line of the Indianapolis Colts. We've been talking about them for years. They've had one of the premier offensive lines in the league.
This is true.
The Giants have not. Schmitz is not good. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which veteran they bring in. It doesn't work.
So who is that on?
This has been a failure since Gettleman. So it's hard to pin this on Shane because they haven't gotten it right since Gettleman. Now Shane has drafted well. Here's the thing.
Well, hold on. The guys that Gettleman drafted are a combined 6-0 right now. And Daniel Jones
for other teams,
right?
Now they're 6-0 for other teams with competent offensive line.
Okay.
So yes, you put Saquon Barkley behind the annually false starting Eagles offensive line, and yeah, he looks like a world beater. You put Daniel Jones behind a really good Indianapolis Colt offensive line, and they look really good, right? That will not last. It's fool's gold if you think that Daniel Jones is going to last. Saquon Barkley, he had a year of health, right? Let's see if he can stay healthy. That was his bugaboo with the Giants. He had stellar numbers, then he got hurt. Daniel Jones had 1 year of stellar play, and the rest was marred with injuries and inconsistency. That's as much on their performance as it is on the offensive line, right? Now, Gettleman was not able to fix the offensive line. You bring in Joe Shane. Joe Shane has been trying to attack it with veterans, bringing in Illuminor. He's brought in John Runyon. He brought in James Hudson, Mr. Four Penalties on the opening drive against the Cowboys. That hasn't worked. The offensive line coach, the scheme isn't working. It doesn't matter who you bring in here. The scheme apparently does not work. So that is a fault of management. That falls on Brian Daboll. If you're going to be a CEO-type head coach, you have to address the fact that this shit ain't working. Mike Kafka, there's no fucking offensive creativity. The lone running play you have is to run up the middle. You're telling me you can't figure out a jet sweep for Wandale Robinson? You're telling me you can't figure out something to get to scheme neighbors open? Dude didn't have a catch till the fourth quarter. Like, this falls on coaching. There's plenty of talent in that room. There's plenty of talent there. Shane has assembled parts. Shane, you know, he got you Carter this year. He got you Dart this year. Scataboo looks great. Scataboo looks good.
Can't play the way he's playing, Z. His new name will be CTE. You can't play that way. It's nice that he's rah-rahing it and leading with his helmet, but that's not sustainable, dude. You're gonna hurt yourself. You can't. He's chipping with his helmet. He's leading with his helmet on outside zone plays. You can't do that. That's not sustainable. And he's not fast enough to be a number one running back.
He needs to be a complimentary back. And Tyrone Tracy, when healthy, is solid enough to be that back. Now,
Tyrone Tracy played wide receiver in college. He's not really a running back. He's a change of pace back. He's like a Shane Vereen type. He's not a 25, 26 carry type. What they were trying to do is put a peg, a square peg in a circle peg. In a circle hole. You can't do that. And it's evident because now he just got hurt. And that play was a really bad play for him.
Yeah, play was a really bad play for him. Now, when you're saying he's learning on the job, and he's actually doing pretty well with that. He's got the speed, he's able to burst through holes when possible.
Who's learning on the job?
Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah, but he's being asked to do something I don't think he's capable of doing. I don't think he can sustain that. He's not a 25, 26 carry per game guy. He's like an 8 or 9 carry, like a Trevion Henderson, like that kind of guy. Like, he's a change of pace back. He's the guy that should be in on third down catching the ball, and he's a guy that should be getting 8 or 9 runs up the middle. But you can't. He can't be your workhorse back, and Scattleboro can't either. He doesn't have the speed to do it. And, you know, I'll let you continue on what you're saying, but I think this is a recipe for disaster. You've got a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back playing the Chargers this weekend. Are you high? Like, you need someone who knows the protections and knows how to pick up blitzes and is going to be able to help the quarterback in that huddle. That ain't a rookie. Well, I'd love to know when the last time the Giants started a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. I'd love to know when a team did that, because that is just not smart, man. Like, you know, you're playing the Chargers this weekend. You want to do that shit against the Saints in New Orleans?
That was the game. That was the game. Unfortunately, the reaction to public opinion is such that Brian Daboll has made the change. He was ready to make the change after week one.
Really?
He had to be walked back from that. He did not commit to Russell Wilson until after the press conference. He was non-committal during the press conference, and he had to walk it back saying, Russ, we believe in Russ. This is our guy. And now all of a sudden he's not your guy after week four. So, again, Shane got you the players. It's up to this putz to coach them. And guess what? He's not doing it, man. His offensive creativity left when he beat the Titans in week one in his rookie season. There's no offensive imagination. Offensively, there's nothing there. Defensively, they're worn out. And why are they worn out? Because the offense can't fucking do anything. And Gano got hurt again. He's 38 years old. They brought in Young Ho Koo. So now Koo is going to be the guy. I like the move. I like it. That. I like Koo. Like, that's going to be good. Now, if that squeezes Gano off the roster, then it squeezes Gano off the roster. But you need a guy who's actually going to kick. They tried Jamie Gillen. It didn't work. It got blocked. You know, and Gano came in the third quarter to make it 22-9, doubled over in pain because he was kicking through a groin pull. So you're forced to go for it on fourth down every single time. Without your stud left tackle, yeah, recipe for disaster. But the pieces are there, especially on defense. Right? Daboll still hasn't figured out what Wandale Robinson is, what Jalen Hyatt was supposed to be the guy who's going to take the top off this defense. Jalen Hyatt can't even play. He dressed for what? Did he even get a snap? Like, what are we doing here? You know, Malik Nabers, 2 catches for 15 yards in the game, both in the fourth quarter. Get the fuck out of here with that. This falls on the offensive genius of Brian Daboll. It's absolute basura. Now, if you fire him, who takes over? Because Kafka's got to go with him. It's absolutely ridiculous. So who's going to be the DC? He's going to take over? Right. It can't happen now, right? So you're kind of stuck with this until the offseason, and then you move on from Daboll. You're kind of like spinning your wheels right now, because the guy that's going to take over potentially, you know, is just as culpable. So the decision to start during the Saint game would have been a better one, because it's a soft landing spot. I agree with you on that, because you have the Chargers and then you have the Eagles. A rookie should not be starting against those two teams. Absolutely not. Jackson Dart is in for the... He's going to be in for the long... It's just galling, man. If you were going to have somebody come in to take a beating, either stick with Russ or have Jameis do it. Because, you know, they're going to get mauled. The next 2 weeks, they're going to get mauled. And then you have the soft landing spot that is New Orleans. So It's absolutely, it's disgusting, really, considering the fact that we both bought into, like, oh, they're on the come, they have something here, right? We both had them as a very improved team, and we look like fucking idiots. So, but we drank the Kool-Aid, we smoked the hopium, and this is what we get for it. Possibly 1-5. Maybe. There's no guarantee they're going to beat the Saints. They could end up 0-6. They could easily end up 0-6. Now, do they pull the trigger at 0-6? Like, I don't know. Like, at what point do you get so desperate that you just start making a panic move? And that's what it would be. It would be a panic move. You have to ride, unfortunately, you have to ride this thing out for the remainder of the season because you fear what that is going to do to whatever continuity you have.
I would think if there is going to be a change at head coach or general manager, that's going to come after the short week against the Eagles. I think if they lose their next three games, I think Daboll's gone.
He's got to be.
And then after that, they play the Broncos, and then they play the Eagles again. and I've got to imagine that...
You're 0-8.
If you're 0-8, 1-7, I think after the 49er game, November 2nd, we'll decide Joe Shane's fate. I mean, at that point, the season's lost, and it's just a matter of just pack up your shit and get the fuck out of here. Like, you know... you know, I want to keep it short because we ran a little long on this, but, you know, I did go to bat for Shane and Daboll, but now you're 3 weeks in and Barkley looks good and Daniel Jones looks good. I mean, and it might be what he learned playing with the Giants. It might have been what he learned playing in Minnesota. I don't know, but he looks competent. Like, he's going through reads, but like you said, he's got good players around him. Like, his tight end is a good tight end. He's got a top 15 wide receiver. He's got a top 5 running back. He's got a top 5 line. Like, this is all good things. So, is it possible that, you know, Daniel Jones just never had the receiver and he never had the line? And yeah, he had the running back, but is it possible that maybe, you know, you keep Saquon, you keep Daniel, and you draft an offensive line and you have Malik Nabers and this is it? This is the way you go? If maybe that's the way you should have done this? But I'm done trying to defend them. Like you said, I'm watching an offense that lacks creativity. I'm watching the guy who runs the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're a dog shit team, but man, they're fucking creative. Yeah. They're creative on their toss plays. They're running, guys are running open. Their quarterback is slow as shit, and he's trash, but it's interesting, and it's Dave Canales' offense, really. It's the Buccaneers' offense that they're running in Carolina now, that Carolina put up, what, they put up points this weekend, right?
They put up 30 against the Falcons, yeah.
They put 30 points up. Like, they're creative. Like, there's no creativity, and, you know, we've talked about this on this show all the time.
Yeah.
But you got to play to the player's strengths. I don't know what Russ Wilson's strengths are at his age. I've got to imagine they're different than Jameis Winston. I've got to imagine they're different than Jackson Dart. I can't imagine they're all the same.
No, they're totally different skill sets, man. Of the three, Dart's the most mobile. And I got to say that Jameis has the strongest arm.
Yeah, I don't know what the plan was, I guess. I don't know. Like, what did you think you were going to get out of Russell Wilson? You know what you're going to get. I feel like you know what you're going to get at Jameis Winston, right? You know you're going to get, like, 30 touchdowns, 40 interceptions. Like, you know that. But what did you really think you were going to get out of Russell Wilson? And I know. The Cowboys got lit up this weekend against the Bears, and the Giants lit up the Cowboys. I know. So it's not like it's not there, right? It's not right. Like it doesn't exist. It exists.
That's the frustrating
right?
part.
And it's like kind of like what you said. You can't scheme Malik Nabers open. You know,
nah, dude, that ain't it.
I don't know. And you don't really have a good tight end. I'm sitting here. I don't know. It doesn't look good.
But here's the thing. Like, they want to take – I see what they want to do, right? You see what they want to do. They want to throw the ball deep, right? Russ is constantly wanting to throw the ball deep. Okay. So if they're playing safeties high, run the fucking ball. Run the fucking ball. Make the safeties come up. Make everybody come up. And magically, the top comes off.
Yeah, I don't know if it was going to happen this past weekend, though, Z. I don't think it was. Like, Spagnuolo was not going to... He was not going to let Neighbors beat them. Beat me with somebody else. Who else you got?
Okay.
Who else you got?
So...
What are you going to do? Are you going to run Jalen Hyatt by me?
That's the thing.
You're going to let little Wandale Robinson beat me? You're going to let Tyrone JC try to run for over 200 yards? Like, God, beat me with somebody else. I dare you. That's basically what he did. It wasn't anybody sitting at home, and it was a snooze fest. I fell asleep at halftime. I was done with that game. Fell asleep. Garbage. But let's move on to talk about the other garbage team. We don't want to, you know,
we're talk equal about opportunity.
Giants. We talk Giants all day, but the Jets managed to shit the bed as well. After blocking a kick and returning it for a touchdown, they let Tampa Bay march down the field for a game-winning field goal. Coach Aaron Glenn could be seen running and cheering along the sideline, did his patented dance that he used to do after he'd score a touchdown, like a cheerleader, when the punt was blocked and returned for a touchdown. Is this Robert Saleh 2.0?
I don't know about that, because Robert Saleh's defense played a hell of a lot better than Aaron Glenn's defense.
Without Nick Bosa, too, we get listed this past weekend.
Yeah, the offense was hamstrung because Tyrod Taylor was in, and it was less dynamic because he's not going to run like Justin Fields can run. But 26 to 36 for 197, two tutties and a pick. Solid. He was also sacked four times for 29 yards. So, that part's an issue, right? Offensive line, a little porous, we'll say. We'll be nice and say it's a little porous. No run game whatsoever, right? This was supposed to be the... You know, we're going to ground and pound 2.0, right? It was supposed to be that. You had 23 rushes. And who had the most rushes, you may ask? Tyrod Taylor. What have we been saying? If your quarterback is the leading rusher, you got a fucking problem.
Right.
You have Breece Hall. You have Braylon Allen. You have the guys in the room run the goddamn ball. Run it down the fucking throat.
And he said he was going to do that.
Yeah.
He said he was going to be a ground and pound team. That's what they said.
Yeah, exactly. So either you're getting out of it early because you have to chase the game, or you're finding yourself chasing points, or you're full of shit. But then you look at this guy was a disciple of Ben Johnson, right? You look at what's going on in Chicago. Like, DeAndre Swift looks like a number one now. He actually looked like a competent running back. You looked what happened. We're going to talk about the Ravens and the Lions in a second. Fucking Sonic and Knuckles look like Jim Brown and Barry Sanders. Right? Run the damn ball. It's effective. It's going to work. Right? There's a reason why Breece Hall is still here. There's a reason why you believe in Braylon Allen. But defensively, this team has regressed. This was supposed to be a solid, stalwart defensive team. And you're not getting anything. You're not getting anything out of anybody. You know, Sauce Gardner looks ordinary. Like, your leading tackler was Jamie and Sherwood. Quinnen Williams, where are you? Quincy Williams, where are you? This team is not good enough to overcome consistently putting up a lot of points, right? But look what happened with the Steelers. You can't be that team. You're not going to be able to win those kinds of games. You're not good enough to win those kinds of games. You're not talented enough to win shootouts like that. So it's back to the drawing board, but it's a horrible look for Aaron Glenn. It's an absolutely horrible look on the sideline for him doing the high step. Right? After, this guy was supposed to be the anti-Saleh. And he just looks like a giant cheerleader too. But it, the one thing Salah could hang his hat on is that defensively, they were there. Offense was always a problem under Robert Salah. But you could always count on their defense to be top five in the league. Now, it doesn't look good. It just does not look good, and it looks even worse optically when you're dancing around like an idiot.
Yeah, I think it's very valid to say about Salah's team. I mean, you're supposed to be the defensive guy that came over from Detroit. You're giving up 30 a game. 34, 30, 29. You're giving up 30 a game. And then the problem I have, it's the same rhetoric at the end of the press conference. Oh, we're going to go back. We're going to work on it. We're going to get better. We're getting better. Dude, I've heard this before, man. I've heard this before. The first week, you cut the guy that fumbled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? And then the next week, you got guys that are running, jogging after James Cook as he's breaking for the end zone. No heads are rolling there. And then you, the head coach, are showboating on the sideline when there's time left in the game. Are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? Their Super Bowl is this weekend. They're playing the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football in Miami. This is it. This is it, guys. Buckle your chin straps. We have to win this game. Otherwise, start trading guys. Trade Breece Hall. James Conner just went down. Trade Breece Hall to the Cardinals. Get a fourth round pick for him. Start looking at the future. If you're not beating anybody, man. You're not winning Super Bowls. You got Tyrod Taylor as your leading rusher. Your coach is high stepping along the sideline. You're giving up 30 points a game. Baker Mayfield was talking shit after the game too. He's like, that defensive coordinator cut me. Because Steve Wilkes is the defensive coordinator. He cut me when I was in Carolina. This was personal. My man.
And that's another thing. Like, Steve Wilkes has a reputation in this league for being a good defensive coordinator. Where the fuck has that been? Like, where's it been? It's not there, man. But, you know, I find it weird. And maybe it's just me. The Jets always seem to, and you know, it's like dating, man. You got your type. Everybody has their type. Their type is a rookie defensive head coach. Rex, Salah, Todd Bowles, Herm, Aaron Glenn. Maybe the one time they went against type and they hired a veteran offensive guy was Adam fucking Gase. Oh, and Eric Mangini all those years ago. Yeah, right. First time defensive coach. They got one time. You could have had Liam Cohen. Yes, he's a goofball, but Liam Cohen would have brought an offensive spark.
I would like them to go with the McCarthy when McCarthy was available. Because they still had Zach Wilson, and you could have still fixed the kid. You had a chance there. You had a chance. You had Gary Wilson. You had Zach Wilson. Go get Mike McCarthy and let him teach Zach how to play quarterback. That's what Zach needed. He just needs someone to teach him how to play quarterback.
And he's in the wrong spot again because he's got Mike McDaniel.
So they have the Dolphins on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have Dallas. They could potentially beat Dallas. Then you got the Broncos. I don't see that happening. Then you got the Panthers. But the Panthers just blowed out the Falcons.
The Falcons have a better defense than you.
Then you got the Bengals in Cincinnati.
With Browning, not Burrow.
Right. And then you got the Jets who just pounded the Packers. So I think they could do well. But I just think if you lose to the Dolphins this weekend, we've got to start making phone calls to try to get draft picks for the good players we have. Like, let's call a spade a spade. We will be 0-2 in the division. We will be 0-4 in the conference. It's time to plan our vacations for the summertime. That's just my.
It's hard to come back from. It's definitely hard to come back from. But the Jets also have, they have a good amount of cap room, so they can always, in the offseason, in addition to the draft picks that they can get now, they can refortify in the offseason. So things aren't totally bleak, but they're, as of right now, in the short term, you definitely need to be concerned.
Just a bad look. Your coach high-stepping along the sideline with minutes left in the game.
As they scored, you look at the clock, they left too much time. Right. Too much fucking time. But congratulations to Will McDonald for that block and scoop and score.
But the other part is that you're a defensive coach. Instead of high-stepping it along the sideline, you should be trying to think about, okay, how do we stop? Like, what do we got to do on this next possession to keep them out of field goal range, to keep them from beating us, instead of looking like a clown?
It can't help but to smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. PopStar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. PopStars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. PopStars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, PopStars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, PopStars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopStarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
Another clown yesterday. Derrick Henry and the Ravens lost to the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football 38-30. The Ravens had zero sacks in the game, Lamar was sacked seven times, and Derrick Henry fumbled for the third week in a row. Did you learn anything new from this game on the Lions side or the Ravens side?
Well, let's start with the Ravens defense. They're living off of reputation.
Defense?
Yes.
They have a defense.
Yes. Yes, allegedly. It wasn't a 7-on-7, it wasn't flag football. Ooh. Believe it or not. They do pay people to be on that side of the ball. But 38 against the Lions, 40 by the Bills week one. You could have fooled me. You could have fooled me. No sacks in the game. You mentioned it. Kyle Hamilton was their leading tackler with 14. You know, the guy, like Roquan Smith had one buzz right by his head. That if he got his hands up, at least batting it down. So that would have been nice. And offensively, it was good to see Mark Andrews kind of get back into the saddle here. He seems to finally be shaking off last year's playoff debacle. But if Derrick Henry is going to be fumbling, this is going to be a long year, because Lamar's taken a beating already. So yeah. seven sacks. That offensive line is porous. Again, the word of the day is porous, kids. So he's getting beat up. Henry's losing the football at crucial moments. It's not just like, oh, I'm just going to fumble in the first. No, crucial, critical moments. He's losing the ball. So the defense the pass defense was already kind of suspect. They went and tried to address it with Jair Alexander. He didn't play yesterday.
He's hurt.
He's
always hurt, that guy.
Yeah. So, and he tried to rush back. Didn't really work. But from that perspective, it's going to be a long year, and I don't know if there's really anybody in the AFC North that is going to challenge for a Lombardi, we'll say. The Steelers don't look that good. Not impressed by them. The Bengals already lost Burrow. You can set your watch to that. The Browns are the Browns. And the Ravens look like dog shit. So we may have overrated them just based on reputation. Lions look good, man. You hung up 52 the week before, and then you hung up another 38 this week. They don't seem to be missing Ben Johnson. They don't seem to be, you know? David Montgomery had 151 yards. You had four rushing tutties. It looks like things are well in hand in the Motor City. Jared Goff looked good. Amon-Ra St. Brown is probably going to get fined for his hot mic moment. But overall, I didn't really learn that much about Detroit. But what I learned about the Ravens is fucking scary.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it just reaffirmed what I said a couple weeks ago. Bad teams find a way to lose. And that's what they're doing. They find ways to lose games. We talked last segment about how the Chiefs, really their priority was to take away Malik Nabers. Flowers was non-existent yesterday. And they're like, go ahead, beat us with Bateman. Go ahead, go for it. Try it. We'll let it happen. Because you ain't going to do shit anywhere else. They were letting Mark Andrews do his thing. Because they doubt his talent, too, now. And then you have Derrick Henry, who's a fucking liability now. And you worry about it going to his head. Because this is three times in three games. And even when he came off the field, he was very angry. And he went up to the coach. He's like, coach, I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. And when a player does that, it's a little... You don't know? What do you mean you don't know?
I mean, Tiki Barber developed that fumbling problem, so I don't know, you know, it's...
I don't know, Lamar. Lamar is a very special player. He's a special athlete. He's definitely learned how to throw the ball, but I saw him getting caught from behind yesterday. I hadn't seen that in a while. Usually he goes down, or he gets out of bounds. He was getting caught from behind. So I don't know if here, you know, this is 7 years. He was drafted in 2018, 7 years later. He might be showing some wear and tear. This didn't tell me anything about the Lions. The Lions went in and beat a bad team. It's almost like when the Giants went into Dallas and they scored all those points. The Lions went into Baltimore and just hung points on a bad team. We've seen them play a good defense in the Packers in the opening night and have problems. They played the Bears. The Bears are a bad team. They put points on a bad team. So that we know that the Lions are going to put points on bad teams. I think they're going to have a problem next week when they play the Browns. The Browns seem like they're ready to play. They'll put up points against the Bengals. They're going to have a problem with the Chiefs. And then they'll put up points again. And then they're going to have a problem with the Buccaneers. They'll have a problem with the Lions. They'll have a problem with the Commanders. They'll have a problem with the Eagles. And then they'll put up points against the Giants. So I didn't learn anything about them. What they are is what they are, but what I learned yesterday just reaffirmed what I already knew. The Ravens are a bad football team. Rightfully so. Like you said, nobody from the North is going to be in the Super Bowl, is going to be in a conference championship, or is going to win a Super Bowl. This is all just entertainment. There's nothing they can figure out. There's nothing they can do about it. At least I don't think so.
Steelers defense looks terrible. The Ravens defense look. The only team that has a credible defense in this division is the fucking Browns. And you think the fucking Browns are going to win the division?
They hit you in the mouth.
Yeah.
They hit you in the mouth. I mean, we may lose this game, but you're getting punched in the mouth. You know? They took it to Green Bay yesterday.
They did. They absolutely did. But still, even with that defensive effort, they didn't really do much offensively. So no, you can't wipe it. You can't white knuckle this shit and win a division. So maybe they
you had the left tackle screaming out, "Jordan, run!" But Myles Garrett got through. Run! God damn it!
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, so it's just, you know, it's they this is what they are. And you know, we just move it along, But like, you know, we mentioned a few teams that had agonizing losses over the weekend. Which team do you think suffered the worst loss this weekend?
Well, yes. Well, this weekend has the interesting footnote of multiple blocked field goals and extra points. So special teams came to play this weekend between the Browns blocking a field goal and then kicking their own for the win. You had the Eagles blocking the Rams and then turning that into a touchdown, a little scoop and score by Jordan Davis. You know, wasn't really necessary, but, you know, I guess they had the over. The most disappointing, though, it's hard to say. I got to say that the offensive performance of the...
Which team suffered the worst loss?
Yeah.
Worst loss.
Well, worst goes with disappointing. And I got to say it's the Packers. You know, yes, they got punched in the mouth. Yes, they went up against a formidable Browns defense. But you got to... You have to overcome that if you have any sort of Super Bowl aspirations. And they do. You know, Jordan Love can't throw for 183 yards. Like, you can't have that. Like,
this was a team that was also puffing their chest out about how good their defense was.
Yeah.
Old man Flacco
did what they could do. And it was a he had a pedestrian game himself. You know, 21-36 for 142. So, not great, but competent. It was the Quinshon Judkins show. Judkins, 18 for 94 in a tutty. So Judkins had a hell of a day. You could see why they drafted him so highly, right? They had it second round. There's a reason why they took him in the second round. But the Packers have enough on both sides of the football that it shouldn't be a defensive struggle with the fucking Browns. Like, no. Absolutely fucking not. It should not be that way. Worst loss? That's up there, man. It's definitely up there. I mean, you could argue that the Panthers skunking the Falcons 30-0 was bad, but it's the Panthers and the Falcons. Really, there are no... There's no expectations there. It's an ass whooping, but it's two teams that I don't care about. They're not going anywhere. I'm not gonna remember this, but I am going to remember later on when we're talking about the Packers in the playoffs. Yeah, this is the team that lost the fucking Browns, right? And couldn't move the ball against the fucking Browns. And couldn't score against the fucking Browns. So, yeah. Like, that just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. They'll get right against the Cowboys because it's the Cowboys and they stink too. Huh. But, you know, I'm just not impressed. I was not impressed by the Packers whatsoever.
Yeah, so mine is kind of one of the other games you mentioned. It was the Falcons and the Panthers. I mean, I had to keep, like, looking at my phone because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The score it was 10 to nothing at half, 20-0 after three, and 30-0 at the end of the game. You guys got the best running back in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have your wide receiver, the Nets are throwing the ball.
Oh, Jesus.
You have your quarterback of the future. You're playing a bum-ass team. Your defense is a good defense. and you can't kick a field goal? You can't.
Yeah.
Michael Penix was 18 of 36 for 172 yards and two interceptions. What the fuck? He was so bad they brought in Kirk Cousins. I saw a play where he threw an interception and he missed tackling the guy who picked him off three times. He tried to tackle him three times and didn't tackle him. And I think it was after that they're like, dude, you gotta come out. You gotta come out. You can't. How did you miss him three times? You're the only one that had a shot at him three times and missed.
Oh,
I get that Bijan Robinson is a good player, but he can't be your third leading receiver and your top rusher. Other people can touch the ball, guys. I mean, this was just a failure on all cylinders against the Carolina. Dave Canales, Bryce Young, Chuba Hubbard, and the Carolina fucking Panthers throttled you? Division game? You can say what you want about the Browns and the Packers. It wasn't a division game. It was a division game. You couldn't kick a field goal? Do you understand that if
they missed two? They missed two. They cut Koo, and the guy they replaced him missed two.
But do you understand that if you kick the ball into the end zone, you get the ball at the 35-yard line? All you have to do is throw, get two first downs, and you're in field goal range. You couldn't do that?
Let's think about this, right? We've been saying for years, right? Drake London and Kyle Pitts are not the guys.
Oh, what did he do?
So London was 5 for 55. Kyle Pitts was 4 for 39. Come on, you know?
Right.
Like, these are the guys who were supposed to be needle movers for you. This was supposed to be a dynamic offense with Bijan and then these two guys. No! Just no! And, you know, to think that people were kind of expecting the Falcons to bubble up a little bit because of Penix, and that somehow Penix was going to unlock these guys when Kirk Cousins couldn't really do it, and Kirk Cousins was a more competent, polished quarterback at the professional level. That division just, it's the Bucks and it's everybody else. And that game just kind of reflected that. I don't think about the Falcons. I don't think about the Panthers. I don't think about the Saints, right? So, like, that game just doesn't resonate with me. So, I get where you're coming from just because the skunk job was that bad. Like, from the sticker shock of it all, I get it. But in terms of playoff expectations and, you know, what you expect of certain teams, I just feel like the Packers were worse for that regard. Because I just don't expect anything from those teams.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Speaking of expectations, right? Justin Herbert and the Chargers appear to be exceeding those expectations. They're putting it all together this year. They improved to 3-0 with a last-minute touchdown pass to beat the Broncos 23-20. Is Justin Herbert your early pick for MVP?
I mean, he's certainly looking the part. You know, Keenan Allen has been big for them. I don't know, Marion Hampton finally got going this past weekend. And I think Najee Harris being hurt. Now, that was another gangster play. There was Najee Harris tears his Achilles on a, you know, a fake handoff, and Justin Herbert throws a diamond pass while he's writhing in pain right in front of him. That's what I'm talking about, man. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for the Chargers and Justin Herbert, it's going to come down to the playoffs. We saw him have a solid regular season last year where he only threw two interceptions. And then he goes into the Houston Texans playoff game and he throws four or five. He's brought the running element back. He's deadly accurate. Quentin Johnson is terrible, but he's a problem. The balls he is catching are big catches, and he's also running after the catch, which is huge. So I think they're heading in the right direction, and the Raiders look like trash. The Chiefs look like trash. And so I think they are the class of that division right now. And the Broncos, I don't know what happened to Bo Nix. I don't know. It seems like a sophomore slump for him. This defense was supposed to be like lights out, Super Bowl ready, Super Bowl caliber defense with Patrick Surtain and everybody in company. And offensively, it was like, well, okay, we've got Bo Nix and we've got a plethora of running backs. We've got Harvey, we've got J.K. Dobbins. And then on offense, we're coming at you with Cortland Sutton, and we've drafted players, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, they can't score, they can't stop anybody. Their defense is dog shit. I mean, they're getting run up on. So, and the Chargers are playing defense, even without Khalil Mack, they're playing defense. So it's fair to say that I think the Chargers could be a problem if they can keep this going the rest of the season.
So is he like in the dog? Like, is he in the lead dog for this? Or what do you think? Like, is there anybody who could challenge Justin Herbert? Because he's 6-1 touchdown to interception ratio right now.
I think he also has 6-1 odds to win the MVP too. I like him. I've been trying to get his ball for a while, but for some reason it's priced the same as Patrick Mahomes' ball, which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
He's missing something.
Yeah, he's missing three things, actually. I read between him and Allen, but I give the visual to him because I've seen him play at a higher level, and I don't think, I think he's a supreme passer.
So we're roughly at the quarter pole of the season, right? And if you look at it, Justin Herbert has the 6-1 touchdown to interception ratio. It's impressive. You have to put Josh Allen in the mix always. Josh Allen is a dynamic player. Jared Goff, you know, he's lighting it up. He has a 7-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So we'll see how that goes. You can't count out Jalen Hurts. Right, he only has three touchdowns, but that'll get going. You figure that he'll start getting things under wraps a little bit, and then you have lightning in a bottle right now with Daniel Jones. How long is that gonna go? I mean, this is already week four, right? So we're gonna see. But Justin Herbert's as good as anybody. It's as good as anybody in terms of their odds to take it home as far as the MVP goes. Who can sustain this level of play? Right? Who has the infrastructure around them to do that?
Yeah, I don't really believe in Detroit. I have to see them play a formidable opponent again, like they played the Packers. They'll get their opportunity to play like the Vikings and other top end teams. But I think it is sustainable for Herbert, especially in a year where Vegas is down, the Denver Broncos are okay, and the Chiefs are okay. The Chiefs are only putting up 20 points a game. Like, there's nothing on the Chiefs that scares you, right? They're not blowing the top off of anybody anymore. Like, they're so conservative, it's almost like they're boring to watch. Like I said, I fell asleep in the Giant game. They should have put more points on the Giants, but they can't. They don't have anybody that can catch the ball more than 20 yards away. They don't have running backs that can run more than 3 yards before getting tackled or pummeled. Their defense doesn't really rush anybody, right? They're playing too deep, and they're like, peck us to death. if you'd like, but you're not going to be throwing anything deep on us. So, yeah, I like him. I think it's sustainable. They've got, like I said, everybody's firing on all cylinders. And I'm not sure this is something that happens more than a year in a row. This is something that just seems to be coming together now because Quentin Johnson sucks. He's a terrible player. He's just a terrible human.
They had to get the rotting corpse of Keenan Allen,
who looks spry, who's doing his thing. You know, he's a good player. He finds openings, and he'll save your life. And they still have Ladd McConkey. They have three competent receivers. They've got a rookie running back who finally showed how good he can be when unleashed. And then, you know, on defense, they're giving people a problem. They're giving everybody they've played, they've given a problem. Geno Smith, you say what you want about Geno, he's a good quarterback. They gave him a problem. Patrick Mahomes, they gave him a problem. Everybody they've gone up against, they've given a problem. And they gave Bo Nix a problem yesterday. I think he always only one touchdown, one interception, like nothing. So with the cast of characters, yeah, I'm sticking with Herbert.
I mean, you can do worse, but for Justin Herbert, the key is the interceptions. If he can do what he did last year and minimize the turnovers, I think he has a good shot of taking home the MVP. He certainly has the weapons. He has the infrastructure in place. And Jim Harbaugh seems to be putting everything in the right direction, right? He's been working with him. It was a project, and it seems like the project is finally coming together, and the Chargers are finally reaping the benefits. The NFL, speaking of reaping the benefits, they're reaping what they sow. The NFL urged officials to keep an eye out for early movement on the final the tush push this weekend. But they missed another one. A critical false start as the Eagles ran the play. Do you think all the false starts will lead to the play being banned since it can't be properly officiated?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think that's the only way. Is like, because it's not, you know, people want it outlawed because it's rugby and they've figured out a way to unstoppable. It's unstoppable and they're worried about people getting hurt. How about we can't properly officiate this play? Every week now, it seems like they're jumping off sides. They're going first. Even like last week, you know, you had teams like, you know, diving at the ball or trying to punch the ball and really almost succeeding in some cases. And that wasn't called either. So I do see a scenario where they're like, listen, it's so tight, it's so close that we can't properly officiate this call. So, you know, there's going to be certain parameters put into place for how a quarterback sneak is run. And I think it's the only way it gets banned. And a lot of people don't like it. I mean, listen, I think the Eagles played a very exciting game over the weekend. That was the game I really enjoyed watching because I really believe that the Rams are a good team. And they went up against the Eagles and really, aside from the blocked kick, they had that game. You know, and for them to come West Coast and play the Eagles at that level. But the Eagles also showed why they're champions. Because they showed we can play you a slow game where we do keep it under, where we, you know, don't run the ball with Jalen, but we still win by three or win by six. Or we can throw three touchdown passes and we can play defense and block kicks and give you a hard time that way. Like, they really just showed how complete of a team they are. And they're just going to be a tough team to beat. I still like the Rams. I really liked how they played against them. But, man, the Eagles just showed how tough they can be.
So, this is turning into, like, a conspiracy as far as Philly against the world. Because of the way in which people are clamping down and clamoring for the tush push to be reimagined or re-envisioned in this league. And it's difficult to envision. It's definitely difficult to officiate because you're trying to see, you're trying to time that split second and you're trying to see if it's a jump. Now, it looks pretty clear, right? If you're looking at it, it looks pretty clear that they're jumping early. And it seems to be that the case all the time. But is the ball moving? If the ball is moving as they're jumping, it's not a jump.
Right?
If the ball's moving, if the ball's being snapped, it's not a jump. So if it's that much of a split second situation where you have to slow it down to super slow-mo replay to see it actually was a jump, then that's a problem, right? Because that means they're never going to be able to catch it in the act. But at the same time, that means it's legal. So at some point, you're going to have to just suck it up and deal with it. And it's getting to the point where you said the Chiefs were boring. I find the Eagles boring.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. I don't want to watch them. I was watching that game because I wanted to see the Rams beat them.
Yeah,
and I wanted to see the Rams give them a really hard time defensively. And the Rams did for like two or three quarters, but at the end of the day, their offensive coordinator called a hell of a game. He's like, all right, you want to take Saquon out? We'll start throwing the ball. We'll throw it on the outside to A.J. Brown. We'll throw it deep to Devonta Smith. We'll stretch it. We'll stretch the field. You know, and they changed game plans like pros. Like pros.
It reinforced the fact that Jalen Hurts actually can throw the ball, despite what people, despite what doubters that he has. Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback in the NFL, but if you're looking at the false starts that are missed, some of them are very blatant. Some of them are close. Like, it is difficult to officiate, but I don't think difficulty for the refs to do their job is going to be enough to ban it with the competition committee.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be enough. I think they would need, if the injury angle hasn't worked, there's another way to go about this, right? There has to be some sort of like the chip in the ball or something, some technology that you can use that creates that invisible, or even like some kind of Hawkeye technology. I don't know, but something that can definitively prove that these guys are false starting, right? There has to be something. Naked eye's not working, right? Super slow-mo is proving it after the fact. So I think it may eventually get to the point where the tush push is banned. But we're not there yet. There needs to be something else, because it's because of the fact that you have to slow it down so much to see it. Like, it's giving you that gray area. It's giving you that plausible deniability that you have to let it go, right? Whenever you talk about replay, and, you know, say what you will about replay, we're not the biggest fans. You need clear and obvious evidence. And if you have to slow it down that much, it no longer is clear and it's no longer obvious. So it's something that the NFL needs to work on. It's something that the referees need to train themselves on to get better. But they just need to emphasize it. They just need to have that point of emphasis. And eventually it'll come around to where it needs to be, where teams are just going to figure out a way to stop it. Right? Nothing in this league is unstoppable. Like the Wildcat. The Wildcat was all the rage, and then people figured out how to stop.
That's right.
Right? So eventually it's going to come around. We're not there yet, but it's possible that the competition committee might beat people too.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan Brake Pads. You know never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Time for the mail route on the Fade Route. And if you want to be featured, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at Fade Route Podcast, or drop us a line on X at Fade Route DNZ. Note sent.
All right, boys and girls, we have a full mailbox today, and if you want your email read on the mail route, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, slide in our DMs on IG, drop us a line on X with your message, and you could end up on the mail route. Our first email comes from Richie in Galveston, Texas. Hey, guys. Fred Van Vliet tore his ACL on Monday. Can the Rockets win without him? And who can they get to replace him?
Gee, I mean, you know, Fred brings so much to the team. I mean, because he's a champion. He won in Toronto. He distributes the ball very well. He's a very good shooter. I don't know if there's a replacement out there. I really don't. And I don't want to say that, you know, I don't want to say that this destroys their chances. It just means that Amen Thompson just has to be that much better of a player this year. You know, he's really going to have to run the point, and he's really going to have to deliver the ball and be like everything that team needs to be, like MVP caliber player. So it'll all come down to if he's up for that particular challenge.
Congratulations, Dennis Schroeder. You are a Houston Rocket. So, I mean, that's the caliber of player that you're probably going to get. You're not going to go get
him
out.
Did he just win a championship with Germany? I feel like he just won like a Euro championship.
Yeah, he won the Euro championship. He won the Euro basket with Germany. Yeah. So you could do worse than Dennis Schroeder. You absolutely could do worse. But that's the kind of guy that you're looking at. You're not looking at a superstar player. You're looking at a guy who, now there's a guy who is a solid NBA backup, occasional starter, that kind of situation. Like a guy like Malcolm Brogdon would have been great, but the Knicks scooped him up. Like you just need a serviceable guy, because who's really running the show?
Wait, you think you just need a serviceable guy to be
I do.
The point guard?
Here's why. Who's going to be the point guard? Kevin Durant's going to be the point guard. He's going to be the point forward. You play point forward.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
he's going to run the show.
It's fair.
So even when Van Vliet was there, Kevin Durant's run on this team. He's running the show. So, you know, we know this. We've seen this from the sniper. So I think it's going to be more on Kevin Durant, and we know that he can handle this. So it's really for the time when Kevin Durant is resting. So... A guy like Schroeder would be fine. A second tier player. Just somebody who will do
a Dante DiVincenzo would be great, but that's not going to happen.
Ooh, Dante would be interesting. I like Dante. I think that would work. Okay. Somebody like at this point in his career, like a John Wall. Oh, hardly knew you. Bye, John. So, yeah. You know, a guy just. Kind of facilitate while Kevin Durant was taking a rest, but the Rockets will be fine without him. They can always fortify at the trade deadline, so there is always a possibility of that, but it does require other players to step up. Amen Thompson, of course, you know, he's the guy you're going to look at, but this team runs, once you get Kevin Durant, the team runs through Kevin Durant, so they'll be fine. The Rockets will absolutely be fine. Email number two comes from Vinny in Bothell, Washington. The Mariners swept the Astros over the weekend. Are the Mariners the new kings of the American League West?
I think the Astros are currently outside of the playoff picture. Am I wrong? I think they've lost.
I think you're right. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Out of the playoffs right now. That Jordan Alvarez injury really messed them up. And also bringing back Correa, waste of life Correa. Yeah, I do think there's a problem because the Mariners are surging, right? We talk about getting hot at the right time. The Mariners are red hot right now. They've got their catcher who's trying to hit 60 home runs. He's already broken Mickey Mantle's record, and he's a force to be reckoned with what, I don't know, 7 or 8 games left this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do think that they've lost their crown, and I think that it just goes to show you how shitty the American League is, because now the Detroit Tigers are also only one game up on the Indians, I mean on the Guardians. Total dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria.
And then what happens? The Yankees, like I said, will be there in the end just because these teams suck.
So the Mariners not only are the class of the American League West, there's a chance, there's an outside chance that they could be the number one seed. So
how about
that? The Blue Jays only have 90 wins. Right? So the Blue Jays in 156 games, they still have 6 to go. The Mariners still have 6 to go. So stranger things have happened, right? Who would have seen the Tigers fall back to the pack like they've had, right? Now the Guardians
can't score.
No, and the Skubal thing definitely gives you pause. He had to be lifted 2 starts ago. Who's to say that that's not impacting him right now, right? Obliques and rib cages, they take a while. So even if it's precautionary, you have to be concerned. If you're AJ Hinch, if you're a Detroit Tiger fan, you have to be concerned that your best pitcher might not be able to post. The problem that those teams face when you're looking at the Mariners, Castillo, Wu, Kirby, you have a very formidable rotation, right? Then you have Naylor, you have Suarez, you have J-Rod, you have Cal Raleigh. That team's built and ready. Jerry DePoto has finally realized his vision for that team, and they're hitting on all cylinders. So the Mariners are poised to make a deep run in the playoffs. And as far as the Astros go, they're currently tied with the Guardians. So we'll see how tiebreakers shake out on that one. But Yankees and Red Sox seem firmly entrenched. Nobody's going to catch either unless, you know, the Yankees are fine. If they win tonight against the White Sox, they're in. The Red Sox, their position is a little precarious. But I'm very surprised that the Astros are just barely on the outside looking in. But that, I suppose, that is a credit to the Mariners for stepping up and taking the crown from the Astros. Email number 3 comes from Joey in New Rochelle. Major League Baseball has approved ABS for the 2026 season. How do you think this is going to go?
I think it'll be frustrating. And I say it's going to be frustrating because, again, baseball is the one sport where we can see if a ball is a strike on every single pitch. And you only get 2 challenges a game, and it can be challenged by the catcher, the batter, or the pitcher.
That's it.
And why? Why does it have to be 2 a game? Why is it that when is the purpose of it to get it right? If the purpose of it is to get it right, we can get it right every time without flaw, without error. So I think it's stupid. And if apparently they tried it out, which I don't understand, I have to do more research on it. Apparently, they tried it out in AAA this past season, and it was a 50-50%. It was 50-50, and when it was challenged, and when it was right or wrong. What? So that's that statistic is making us move it to professional baseball, it should be like 70-30 or 90-10, 50-50. How the fuck is that possible? I don't, you know, so I, you can remove, listen, we're removing the human element out of everything. I mean, forget the computers writing emails. You know, what are we doing going out with these home plate umpires when we can literally see if a ball is striking every so much?
I mean, it's one step further in removing the human element from baseball. Right? To your point, we can see the box. We can see the box on our screen, almost like a video game. Like, we know exactly where it is. It's almost like when fans were calling into the PGA because they could see that a ball went out of bounds or that a player had moved the ball. And they were calling the PGA and snitching on the players. Like, we can see this. Why can't you? It's like Hawkeye. Hawkeye had to be reinstated in tennis because everybody at home could see that the ball was in, except the linesman. I, for one, feel like it's too much. The human element is what makes baseball, or what makes sport in general, special, right? Yeah, plays get missed here and there. More frequently nowadays because it's becoming more apparent that these umps are not getting trained very well in the minors. But calls get missed. It happens. You don't get the Don Denkinger play. You don't get some great, you don't get the imperfect game. You're losing out on some history. You're losing out on some moments, right? Eric Gregg and his horrible strike zone for Leivan Hernandez against the Braves, where he was calling strikes that were actually in the other batter's box because he had dinner reservations. Like, yeah, that's egregiously bad. I get it. But it's also part of what makes sports great. It's overcoming a challenge. Sometimes the officials are a challenge, and you need to figure out a way to overcome them, right? You need to overcome Angel Hernandez. You need to overcome C.B. Buckner and how terrible they are at their job, as much as you need to overcome the other team. If you just remove everything and just make it completely technology based, yeah, you'd get the call right. Most of the time. But you're also kind of sucking the soul out of what makes sport sport, right? Who are you going to argue with, right? Let's think about it this way. Aaron Boone, right? Pitch is close. It's overturned. Aaron Boone goes ballistic. Who is he going to yell at? He's going to yell at the home plate ump?
It's like, nobody. Bro. There's nothing to yell about. Your stress level should be low. We got this, dude.
Right? It's going to go from Earl Weaver and Lou Piniella bursting blood vessels to, you got me. Yeah. We're losing the spirit of the game. We're losing the soul of the game, slowly but surely. The actual game has changed. Now the way the game is officiated has changed. It's almost going to be unrecognizable very soon. If you guaranteed me 100% success rate of ABS, I'd be in line. If you could prove definitively that they get it right every time, okay, awesome. You can't guarantee me that. Right? You can't guarantee that with Hawkeye. You can't guarantee that with VAR in soccer. You can't guarantee that with replay in football. You can't guarantee that in hockey. You can't guarantee that in basketball. You can't guarantee that, period. Plain and simple, you can't guarantee it. There are no guarantees. So I can live with it if you can. But it seems to me like people are growing more impatient. And I wonder if that has to do with the gambling more so than the integrity and soul of the game. Maybe. Just maybe.
Favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner said vote gets a shout-out on this year's show and takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy, D?
I don't.
That would be... building suspense. It's called building suspense. Building suspense. Dun, 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 dun. And after all that suspense, Ashton Jeanty, 11 rushes, 43 yards, still no pay dirt, making people question whether he was worthy of a top six pick. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right. So first up, I've got Houston Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. Jeez. Only thing worse than him was Trevor Lawrence. Who we played against. Stroud, 25 for 38 for 204 yards, a touchdown and interception. And they only scored 10 points. Seems to be a reoccurring theme for this team that really struggles to score more than twice a game. CJ Stroud, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got running back of the Baltimore Ravens, Derrick Henry. Three fumbles in 3 weeks for the Ravens. And last night on Monday Night Football, on a key drive, he fumbled the ball, which led to a Lions score and gave the Ravens the ball back with not much time left in the game to do what they needed to do. Derrick Henry, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, I've got the Green Bay Packers. Talking about being undefeated. Their defense, talking about being an all-time great defense, can't beat the Cleveland Browns. Lost to the Cleveland Browns 13-10. That's garbage. Green Bay Packers, you are my alleged superstars of the week. What do you got, Z?
Can't go wrong with them. Can't go wrong with any of those choices. I'm going to start with New York Liberty. The New York Liberty. Not renewing the contract.
Oh, okay.
Of their head coach. So, very interesting. Sandy Brondello won a thing we like to call the WNBA championship just last season. Out in the first round after losing to the Phoenix Mercury. And yeah, we're not renewing your contract. Huh? I'm sorry. Say that. Speak that into my good ear. Like, how are you getting rid of a coach that just delivered you a championship? So maybe there's a little palace intrigue and the players aren't as on board with Coach Brondello as we'd like to think. But still, a bad look all the way around for the former WNBA champions. New York Liberty, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I have to go with the New York Giants. An abysmal performance against the Chiefs. Again, lackluster. No creativity. Russ looked terrible at the end. Andrew Thomas didn't play the second half. The defense got exposed. And now the Giants think that Jackson Dart is the answer. I can tell you this much, that Jackson Dart is not the answer in the immediate future. The Giants are down, looking for their mouthpiece. And there's potential that they won't be getting up anytime soon. New York Giants, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the New York Jets. Seemingly snatching victory from the jaws of defeat with that blocked kick, scoop and score by Will McDonald. You got your coach doing a dance on the sideline, looking like everything's in the bag. Everything's in the back. We got this. Yeah. All right. And then Baker Mayfield happened. Took it right down the field. Field goal. Jets lose. Bad teams find ways to lose. Bad teams snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory and say, no, no, that's mine. I'll take that, sir. The Jets have no identity. At least under Robert Saleh, you knew they were going to have a solid defense. They don't even have that anymore. So who knows what is coming down the pipe for the Jets and their fans. But it's no indication that things are going to be righted anytime soon. New York Jets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRoundDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoundPodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.